What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Hey, Saul, you have something on your chin.
Oh, no.
You have something on your chin, sir.
Let me get it.
You got a little something on your...
I'm the one wearing the braces, not him.
What's up, buddy? No, you missed it. Biden had something on his chin, and he got an
Free my kids.
It just hit Timmy what I was talking about.
Toxic femininity.
The Salty
Show.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? We're going to do a little bit something different on this episode of The Salty Show. We are going to try to avoid politics as much as possible. And you know what? We're actually going to talk about something that is, again, it's a little bit different. And we're going to jump right into this. Politics has saturated our daily lives. And we can all admit this. I mean, we've been covering politics for the last, 2 years on this show for almost every episode. Right. And, you know, sometimes I think it's good. Let's take a break from it and kind of discuss something that I think is a conversation that we're going to try to unravel something here. And now what I want to do is do this in a series of episodes, because there's so much to unpack here in some of these topics. So in a way, we're going to be thinking out loud, sharing our ideas, thought process, and finding our way through complex social problems that I believe, in my opinion, have simple solutions. Not easy, but they are simple solutions. Now, Heidi said this earlier. I think we should acknowledge that politics is somewhat downstream from culture, and sometimes it's hard to avoid. And I think many of the political issues and problems we face today in society and in our government institutions derive from a shift that has occurred. And what is that shift? Okay. In the past 100 years, the West has undergone major changes, right? And what are those changes? Some would argue that there is a new era of enlightenment, which we enjoy, that has ushered in what we consider what is relative peace, right? On a broad scope of rights, freedoms, liberties. And it's been to the masses, right? It's not just been to the elite. We're talking about in the West in particular. Now, there's been so much widespread of liberty, affluence that we have enjoyed by so many in our society. And it begs the question, has this peace caused an inordinate amount of ignorance by the people, right? And has this ignorance played a role in the state or the predicament that we find ourselves in? Now, here is where I want to focus today's episode on. One of the major shifts in society has been the change in the role that women play, right, in the modern world. I think when I was studying this, when I was researching some of this, prior to World War I, the women's rights movement had gained somewhat of a, you know, steam. The women's suffrage movement, right? And in 1920, the 19th Amendment passes, and something happened during World War II, which I consider is another major shift that occurred. Again, the role that women played in society. And what happened, right? Men went off to war. Women were called in to fill in because these factories that were producing war material and you know what I mean, weapons and all this shit. So women had to come in and play a role. Now, what happened after that? The war ended, and now there was, you know, two forms of income coming into the house. And now society's telling women, okay, well, now go back home and continue what was happening. Okay, now, so my question.
Make me a sandwich.
So my question, have we moved? And this is the broader question that I want to tackle. Have we moved to a more tolerant society because of women? Or have we unwillingly placed ourselves at the cusp of hard times? Because we all can acknowledge right now that hard times are coming, right? We've all heard that quote, strong men create peaceful times create weak men create hard times, and it's this cycle. Okay, so we all can acknowledge right now the way that things are moving, progressing to, there is going to be a pullback or a correction that's going to happen, because I think we've neglected important things, particularly boys. Okay, so we're going to get into this conversation. So before we get into this conversation, I know I dumped a bunch of information, but my question, and I want to involve you guys in this, is what do you guys think? Do you guys think that the shift that has happened, because it has happened, do you think that it has been a net good for society? And if so, how? And what I'm talking about, no. Women's roles in society, because the roles have expanded. Yes, Jeremy.
Okay, I got to make a correction really quick statement. Yeah. All right. You said that when the war, World War One, World War Two ended, the men came home and they wanted the women to, like, basically, to Timmy's little sarcasm comment, get back in the kitchen and be barefoot and pregnant and stop going to work. And yeah. I disagree. I disagree with you wholeheartedly, because I think that men came home and they got a little bit of that taste of sharing the burden of making money and sharing some of those things, and said, well, wait a minute. If I can do it, you can do it. So they got comfortable with the two income, just as much as the women got comfortable with the idea of doing more than being pregnant in the kitchen.
I think it came a generation after, right? So when they came back, when they had babies, right? Because a lot of them went back into that role. They didn't like it, so to speak, but I think a lot of them went back into that role. But when they had their kids, that's when you saw the transition to, you can be what you want, right? Don't let a man define you, right? Don't be defined by a man. You can be equals, right? So you started seeing that transition at that point, I think, right? Because they got their freedom. They saw what it was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm needed, right? So I know I can do this. But then as they had their children, they started giving them that life of, you know what? Go to school. Be better than just barefoot and pregnant, to your point, right?
Well, so how does that timing work then? Because World War II ended mid 1940s, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see, you know, Leave It to Beaver, all these TV shows that are based in the 50s, that is not the role that women played.
Right.
It wasn't until the 60s that you see that shift.
That's what I'm saying. So when they came home and had babies, that next generation of kids, right? So that husband and wife had their kid. That female started, you know, getting more opportunities, right? Set forth because of her mom and the women prior to her that helped out during the war, where that mindset changed.
But I think Leave It to Beaver, just like the rest of TV, that was just the point, right? It was that fantasy. Because, you know, in the 50s, it was, yes, this is the fantasy. This is the way that it used to be. This is the way that it was.
I think during the 50s, that's the way it was.
But, well, no, because I know a lot of people in the 50s that had dual working households, because that's what they were doing.
I think that was rare.
To Heidi's point, TV portrayed what it wanted to promote in society. Because if you remember, I don't know if you remember, you weren't alive, but I seen some documentaries during that time. You know, if you saw a television show, and I think WandaVision made this very clear, where you see the parents would be portrayed as sleeping in two different beds, even though that's not what was happening. But you know what I'm saying? Like, but society had. Yeah, go
right. Ahead. Those were the TV had a set of rules, right? CBS had a set of rules, decency rules, whatever you want to call them. Right. And so, you know, you weren't allowed to show two people, you know, a male and a female in the same bed. That wasn't the society's expectation of married people or a married family, you know, couple, whatever you want to call it. It was what CBS enforced because they didn't want to show anything like that on TV.
So to that point, it's proving the point of where I think you know where this is going. Mm-hmm. think about that time frame, right? More people, lifestyles were more, quote unquote, conservative at the time, right? Mm-hmm. People went to church. They had, you know, big family, you know. So, like, their mindset wasn't give me, give me, give me, and, you know, fuck you, dad. If you said fuck you, dad, you got popped in the face, you know, with a fist and then a belt and whatever else that they could find, right? No, no, I'm being serious, right? So life, TV, everything was more conservative back then, right? And then after the war, you started seeing that
right. I mean, let's think about it. The Andy Griffith Show. Like, that's Leave It to Beaver time and era, and that's a single dad raising a young man. Gently. Yeah. Yeah. Then you go from there and you progress into the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Now you've got not necessarily divorcees, but a husband and a wife, or a blended family. And again, still raising gently, but a mom and a dad working, blended family, both parents working. I mean, you can see that. And I would agree.
Both parents working? Are you talking about the Brady Bunch?
The Brady Bunch. Both parents worked in the Brady Bunch.
What did the mom do?
What did Carol do?
She was an
architect, and she...
I think she was a stay-at-home wife, and they just had a maid to help her cook and clean.
Yeah, and they had a big house for six kids.
For some reason, I thought she had a job, too.
I thought she did something. Maybe it was volunteer. I was going to check. Maybe a volunteer type thing. She was definitely not home. They needed a maid to do all of the stuff at home, because she was not home during the day. So you see those, again... The progression of, and let's go back to what the image is. What is the dream? What is the image that they want you to mold into?
There was major shifts that happened, and I didn't cover everything. One of the changes that I covered is women going to the workforce, but something else happened. And I don't mean to be, I don't know what the right word is, but these are the facts, right? The advent of the tampon. The advent of certain things that allowed women now to be in the workforce, right? Because if you look at history, you know, during that week, most women, you know, had to stay inside or whatever. I mean, this is a sad reality, but this is how women were for a long time. So it wasn't like they could just get up and go because guys, they're, you know what I mean? Like, something's happening to their body. That, you know what I mean, that prohibits them from being able to go. We forgot that part about our history. And so we're at the advent of this, allowed women to then go into the workforce and allowed women to do certain things. Not only that, the advent of the microwave or certain cooking things that made it faster to make
TV
a meal.
Dinners.
Because something happened. There was that change. Allowed women to, okay, well, the food is done. The food is instant. All this is, there's no need for a woman to be at home all day. Women were having less kids. So no longer were you needed to, you know, stay home and raise all these kids. And so there was, again, there's been a shift that has moved women away from the home into the workforce. So then I go back to my original question that I started off with, and I want you guys' opinion on this, which is, has it been a net good or a net bad, and is it just a wash, or is it just it is what it is and here we are, and how do we deal with it? In my opinion, I think there's been a net bad, but I don't think I'm not going to say that there's no hope. I believe that we can fix it, and I think we can change it, but we have to acknowledge certain things. But yeah, Heidi, I want your opinion. Do you think this has been a net good or a net bad for society as a whole?
I think that there's been pros and cons. I think one of the largest cons to it is the number one responsibility that I think that women have always had that they're not being responsible for anymore is the next generation and taking care of the household. And I think that's definitely a huge negative, and probably a big enough negative that it's going to impact God knows how many centuries to come. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see a shift go back, because it's not, there aren't, you first have to have a recognition of it, A, and B, you have to have spouses, significant others, whatever, families supporting a shift in it. And I just don't know that's going
to
happen.
So to that point, so I mean, you're the only one here that actually has kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, what am I, chopped liver?
Well, they're not really yours. Like, she had to breed, you know, make them and all that. Very so what I'm saying
she had to bake them instead.
But now, to your point, now, so you had an older son, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had your twins. Mm-hmm. The twins have been very fortunate, right?
Yeah.
To actually have a father figure mm-hmm. in their life every day.
Right.
They still have their biological maker, whatever they want to call him these days, he's still around, right?
Yeah.
But to every day wake up and have a male figure there that will, you know, that cooks for them, reads them bedtime stories, tells them good night, loves them, you're a superstar, you know, all this shit, yells at them when they, you know, make mistakes, set guidelines for them, right?
A daddy.
Right. Well, yeah. Did they have a better shot maybe than Connor did? Because Connor, right? I mean, when you think about it, yeah, I know you said that, you know, your dad was always around your brother, but it wasn't that every day.
Yeah, there's definitely been, and he's 21 years old. So I can absolutely look at it and say, yeah, for this 21-year-old kid who didn't have that day in, day out daddy. Because there's a difference, right, between having a father and having a daddy. There's definitely a difference between them. I definitely had to play different roles with each of them. And I look at Connor's upbringing and feel very responsible that I couldn't have done something or provided something more for him. But it was the cards I was dealt. I mean, so and he. And for him too, right? Didn't have the same opportunities that the girls have? Absolutely not. And when I talk about, you know, men expecting women to be in the workforce, expecting women to bring in the income, expecting women to do certain things, not of your traditional being at home and being a housewife. I'm not. That's a generality from my observations, from the things that I've heard. You guys, right, talk about it all in different capacities. And then, of course, I've lived it. So Connor, there's definitely been a difference and there will definitely be struggles that Connor has to overcome because he didn't have the same.
Right. So that's the same involvement. So if you let's say you and Jeremy got together, you know, 15 years prior, right?
Then
you wouldn't really have the twins then.
But she wishes.
But let's say Connor was not a full grown adult, basically, mm-hmm. well, you know, full blown teenager by the time Jeremy came into the life.
Right.
And if Connor was able to have Jeremy there almost right around the same age as the girls, like that 8, 9,
the toddler. Well, so the girls were toddlers when Jeremy came into their life. So and I absolutely agree. Connor, there were a few years in his younger years where there was a man in our lives that we lived with that was very involved in Connor's life. Very active, very like teaching and spending time with and all those quality things that Jeremy has been to the girls. And so he had that for a short period of his life, young life. But what Connor got out of that is first his father abandons him basically. I mean, cause he left while I was pregnant or we split up, whatever. And he chose not to be a part of his life. And then here comes this man that is in his life during his years of being 5, 6, 7 years old. And does the same thing, and he's this great figure. Had he had Jeremy, are there things that would be different today with him? Absolutely. I fully agree. I agree with that. And I think that any woman that can stand up and say, oh, I don't need a man to do X, Y, Z. You're full of shit. And I'm right more there. Than happy. Come and join us here at the Salty Show. Sit here in the seat and let's have a conversation about why you think you are so smart.
So to that statement, I want to put it back on you real quick, because you said that it's kind of been, in your opinion, more of a negative, right?
Yes.
You know, value, you know, a negative thing. So with some of the things that she has mentioned, do you feel like that adds to that negative stint that, you know, you're seeing more of the single parent household, you know, growing up without dad, growing up so without mom, you know, things like that.
This is coming from somebody, for the listener who doesn't know, this is coming from somebody who grew, my father, it's different. My father passed away when I was months old. So I grew, and my mom never remarried. So I grew up with no father in the house. But Heidi mentioned something very important, which is, I think, the distinction here, which is you have to acknowledge that there are gender roles and that there's important attributes that males have that they bring to the table that are going to build the character of a young man. Okay, so, and this is going to lead us into another point of this conversation, but again, the broad topic is the role that females have played in society and the shift that has happened. What has that been, a net good or a net bad? Now, again, I was raised by a single mother, had to play both roles. And because she acknowledges that men play an important role in the upbringing of children. But I think the negative has come from, as women started moving into certain areas in the workforce, particularly in education, I think it has been a net bad. Because while men are driven by results, right, is 2 + 2 = 4, not how does Billy feel about whether or not he got the answer right. And I think that's what the shift is. I know I'm condensing it very a lot. However, but it progressed into that. And it progressed into that because I believe we didn't check it as a society. Yeah, Jeremy, go ahead.
So, and more of a, obviously we can talk about specifics, right? We could talk about Heidi's particular instance, and you can go talk to 100 people out on the street, and you're going to get examples of how, you know, one person was raised by a single mother and, you know, and this result. And then you can go to the other side. There's a spectrum of the results, right? So I think what we really need to do is talk about generalizations, right? Because always the fringe stories. We're more interested about, in general, yes, is society better off with this two person working families, right? Two right. adult working families, mom and dad working. And my answer is, I think that no, we are not doing well. And I think a lot of it is, to your point, is the education, right? Mom and dad have going, they both go to work. So they take the kid to preschool, right? Depending on your preschool, they may or may not offer some sort of education, right? And then once they're old enough, they go to kindergarten. Once they're, you know, then they start school. They're doing first grade, second grade, third grade. And the parents spend less time with their kids than the school does. And so the school has basically replaced the right. parents, right? Or the yes. parent, the mother in the historical reference. And unfortunately, we are reaping decades of that philosophy now. And we have kids, to everyone's point, they're growing up not caring if 2 + 2 = 4. They care whether or not, like you said, Billy's feelings about whether or not 2 + 2 = 4. And it's just like, that is a horrible way to raise these kids. They're indoctrinating them into these crazy, stupid socialist and feelings based and whatever other crazy idea of the day is. And it's destroying the country, right? They're taking all these different little science experiments. Like, well, let's see if we teach this generation of kids this, what'll happen? Oh my God, that was a horrible idea. Let's teach them this and see what happens a decade later. Oh my God, that was bad too. All right, well, let's try this road now, right? They're sending these kids down these roads, not knowing where they're going to go. And it's becoming a disaster after disaster after disaster.
But society did that because two parents are working.
Right.
It used to be you went to school to learn how to read, write, and do math.
Right.
You learned your history at home. You learned your science at home. You learned your chores at home. You learned all of those things at home mm-hmm. while you were working the farm, while you were working with dad, who's a dentist, and you went and you did your school hours in the morning. And now you went to work with dad, who's a dentist, and you're learning whatever
Did they go to, or did they stay home with mom? And mom,
mom taught him. But whatever, but it was both. It was a combination of both.
But see,
I mean,
okay, so
just look at it.
I want to say something here because, and I don't want to move it away from what we're talking about. But however, to Heidi's point, so there's something changed, okay? Because and I'm going to give you guys a micro scenario to address a macro issue, right? That a generality. Okay. I remember when I was a kid, I was in fourth, fifth grade. Okay. And again, the importance of men and the role that men play. Okay. Go ahead.
I have a quick question about that. You have three older brothers? How many older brothers did you have?
Three, one passed away, but so two older brothers now. Yep.
But growing up as a infant, a toddler, a child, a teen, you had adult figures in the household in the role of your brothers, correct?
Sure. But my brothers didn't necessarily help in my upbringing. They didn't. I mean, they were enjoying, well, you know, you, I mean, like the age gap was so.
Maybe they obviously, depending on their ages, they would have had more father son time with your dad than obviously you did.
Yes, exactly.
Do you think that would have rubbed, you know, kind of that would have worked, you know, rubbed off onto you from your brothers as well? Or do you think
I don't know because I, like I said, I wasn't close to my brothers, and they, you know, again, there was such a different age gap, and so, you know, I mean, like, I,
how, yeah, what is the age between you and your youngest brother?
Maybe 6-7 years old, 7 years difference. So it's, you know, I mean, like, we you know, there was nothing in common, you know. I'm closer more to my sisters than I am to my brothers.
Right. How many sisters were between your brother and you?
Four sisters.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So it was a big gap. So was it brother, 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 sister, 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 then you?
Yeah, something like that. Yep. Yeah. It was a unique thing.
I was just wondering, everybody. Yeah.
If the listeners
but basically, your brothers would have known your father, and they would have been taught, raised, influenced by him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you saw any of that from them.
No, I don't. This is not a knock on my brothers. It's just the way that it was. I mean,
his brothers are of the same generation as the rest, where selfish. Had your siblings and you, this is just the reality. It goes right along with what we're talking about, actually, right? Is had your brothers and you and your siblings and your mom been 20 years earlier than you were, then your brothers would have stepped up into a parenting role when your father passed away. They would have. It happened in my dad's family when my granddad's first wife died. The older kids stepped up to pick up the slack for the passed away woman. But that's the generation that was.
Yeah. But to Saul's particular situation, right? With four, correct me if I'm misspeaking here, but with four sisters, just older than you, they probably babied the hell out of you, and your older brothers were like, "Ah, screw it, let the hens have the kid."
Probably. I'm not saying that I didn't look up to my brothers. Like, you know, obviously I did, and you know, they were my role models, and you know, what I mean, like, so I did, but I don't think I ever felt like, oh, you know, he's trying to correct my, you know, I never felt that father figure type coming from my brothers. Anyways. Let me give you the scenario that I want to give you to paint a picture. Again, micro example of a macro issue. And this goes back to school. I was maybe third or fourth grade. And I remember being in class. And, you know, so maybe it was later. But when is that age where you're going, you have a homeroom and then you moving around to different.
We started seventh grade,
so I think it would have been like maybe fifth grade for me, because I remember going into like different because I forgot to mention, because I was like an honors kid, so I had to go to different whatever to get treated differently, I don't know, whatever. But I remember in one of these classes the teacher was female, and I was very different. Again, as a kid, man, you know, I treated her very different. Let me tell you why. Because I misbehaved in her class, and I was the big joker, and I made everybody laugh. Meanwhile, she's struggling to tell me, "Nelson, sit down. No, Nelson, no. You know, calm down. You know, behave. You know." And I wasn't behaving. I was the joker in the class. I was the class, you know, jester. Well, the next class that I had was a ex-military teacher, male. Mm-mm. You think I misbehaved in his class? No. In his class, I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, shit, this guy's got, you know what I mean? And he was a very tough teacher. There was other kids in that class who gave him a hard time, but I wasn't going to be one of those. Now, the point that I want to make here is that, see, I knew that this female teacher was not going to, I didn't have that fear, right, that she was going to do something to punish me or to anything. I knew I could get away with it. Now, the picture that I want to paint to you is this, is I feel that this played out a lot, not just me. I know this played out a lot throughout, you know, many, many years and decades of this. And what happened? Women started moving into the education arena, right? Men used to dominate that. And there was a shift that happened. And so what happens when a teacher who's struggling to get her class in order, especially boys like me who were restless, who, you know, didn't, you know, we're not going to respect the you know, words from a female teacher. It's just, this is just how it was. And I know I'm not the only one. I know a lot of boys did this. Okay. So this is where I feel that we had good intentions as a society and said, okay, well, let's get women, and women are more compassionate. They can rear their own kids. And so therefore they'll be able to rear other people's kids. Well, I think that was the mistake. And what happened was that teachers then, and again, this is a theory, folks. This is not set in stone, but I have theories here on why I feel this happened. So a shift happened. How do we get this under control? Well, we have to say that there is, you know, that there's an undesirable attribute in male nature that we have to correct, that is coming from somewhere, not understanding that boys sometimes are restless because that's just how boys are. They need a male figure. They just do, to put them in order. I'm not preaching anything new. I think people who have raised boys, men who have raised boys, understand this. Okay. But we don't want to acknowledge this because we don't want to offend women, or we don't want to offend it. We become the society of, we don't want to offend people. Now, again, society has deemed certain male attributes as undesirable because of this. And this is just one piece in the whole puzzle of what's happened. And so we've placed more value on the characteristics of, and Jordan Peterson says this all the time, agreeableness, right? Agreeableness in females and in boys, but that comes naturally to girls, right? The characteristic of agreeableness comes more naturally to girls than it does to boys, and so and this is where I feel that it has been detrimental to boys, because we've said, hey, you know what? This is something bad that we need to correct, and that correction, I think, has gone overboard, where we now, but because there is no equivalent for females, right? There is no toxic femininity. We always talk about toxic masculinity, but we don't talk about toxic femininity. And I think, again, there is an attack on boys. Yeah, go ahead, Tim. I think you were going to say something.
No, it's just a lot.
yeah.
No, but I mean, it just comes down. Look at society over the last 100 years. You know what? Yeah. From the point we started with, from World War I till now, look at the evolution of man, not female, but look at the evolution of the male psyche. We went from storming Normandy to safe spaces, and everybody locking themselves in a room because a doctor said, it's very contagious. And
15 days to curve.
You know what I mean? And hook, line, and sinker. But you think that when they were getting ready to storm Normandy, if they would have said, by the way, there's this flu going around that you might get sick. And the guy's looking around. He's like, I got bullets flying over.
No, it's not the flu. It's rapid onset lead poisoning is what you're referring to.
So you think about that. But then you look at the evolution, right? Yeah. Then you started getting the dual income family, right? So that become, now you got both parents working. So now the boy, he's kind of being misguided, right? Because now what do? I get home from school. I'm running around the block with my friends, being a shithead. My dad gets home late. He's working. He's tired. He's irritated. My mom, she's getting home from work. Now she's got to cook dinner. She's irritated and stressed. Then I'm being a shithead. They can't deal with me, right? And this wasn't just me. This was almost like majority of kids. You know what I mean?
And they add this, so they throw women. No, so they throw women into a classroom to make up for the love that you're not giving them at home and the attention you're not giving them at home.
Always been in the classroom.
Women have always
been in the classroom.
I know, it was less. It was less exposure to those women in the classroom. Yeah. It was. And that's why I think they go hand in hand. Right. I think that the school system going to shit because we have a bunch of women in there that either A, have never been parents, have never been married, or they're a parent themselves doing the same shit as the rest of us. And let's all worry about how we're going to feel. Okay. Yeah. Where at least before that female that was sitting in the classroom teaching the kids, they were teaching them for a minute period of time for very specific things. And then they went home. And there is a difference between a mother loving on their child, giving them the hug or the kiss because guess what those moms were doing? They might've been stay at home moms, but they were still, your kid was still coming in the door and, hey, your laundry needs to get put away. Hey, you have dishes to do. Hey, it wasn't this, I feel guilty because I've been working and away from my family and my household for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. I come home, I'm in a pissy mood. I don't have time to deal with you. And now on Friday night and Saturday, I'm going to make it up to you. So we're not going to do chores. We're not going to learn how to survive outside. And guess what? You're going to get the love in the classroom from, and we've done that. Right. So they go hand in hand. And I agree. The women in the schools, I promise you, they are teaching your children differently and loving, I air quote that, for, loving your children differently in the classroom than what's happening when they go home and they deal with their own little shitty, snot-nosed brats. I'm telling you now, it's different.
Now let's bring it back to the point I was trying to make. You know, you have all this going on, but now you have the parents, they're at each other's throat because now their house isn't in order. They're both working. Mm-hmm. They're both stressed. This one's trying to be the best in his career and she's trying to do this and they don't have time for themselves. Now the kids get in the way. Now you look at the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the divorce rate now. Yeah. Right? Now you go into that divorce rate. Now you get divorced. So now Johnny wants to act out because daddy goes this way. Mom goes this way. Now the parents are using the kid as the point at the time. Then they say, daddy don't love me. But really, he don't want to deal with the mom because she's a fucking pain in the ass. So now the kid suffers. Right.
Right.
And then God forbid, and I'm not, this isn't your scenario, but God forbid, because we've dated people with kids and all of a sudden we've kind of find ourselves in these weird roles. And it's like, that's not my role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now you get involved and now you got to hope that the person that woman's with or that guy's with, that new partner loves that kid too, right? And has to remember, your job, unless it's specified, your role is X, Y, and Z. If you have a mom and dad that have a good separation and they parent equally, right? Where you make a decision, it's equal for the kid. The significant others don't have a say in that, right? But when you get into those scenarios where, dad has disappeared, Dad B steps up. Hey, man, now you got to hope you got somebody with good morals that shares your values. Because if you don't have the same values and morals, now you're teaching this kid all fucked up shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they suffer. And then the parents come around in this, single mother household. You can't be mean to my kid. My kid gets a trophy too. My kid gets a pizza. My kid gets a medal. Wait a minute. Nah, your kid sucks. You're supposed to tell that kid you suck. You came in last place.
Right.
The way you get better is you work hard for it. Mm-hmm. Nothing comes easy in this life. You got to work hard, get up, keep trying. When you fail, you go again and go again. And what happens when you finally succeed? You have a sense of like accomplishment.
Yes.
And they're not getting that anymore. You know, their accomplishment is respawning in fucking Battlefield.
And you were asking if this is going to get better. It's not. They're trying to prolong the school day by another 2 hours here in Arizona.
Yeah, they've become nurseries. Yeah, they've really become nurseries.
And families are like, oh, I don't have to be a parent at all Monday through Friday.
What were you going
to
say in response real quick?
Sorry.
Because I know we get off topic and then we forget what we
said. And I kind of want to reel it back in. But to your point, Tim, you know, where women now, see, something happened. And again, a lot of things have happened. But here's another wrench to this whole thing. So here is society now. Women are being, you know, praised because that's what we did. We said women were treated unfairly for thousands of years. We're going to make up for it in these last, whatever, 20 years we've been trying to make up for it. So then we focused on girls, right? Society focused on girls and said, well, you know, we need to educate them and we need to get them out. And what's happening now? Now more girls are graduating from high school, from college. More girls are, you know what I mean? Like, so they're moving into this area where they're earning more than their counter men. Right. And so now they're out there in the dating sphere. And I've talked to females because I'm in that dating sphere world too. And I, you know, I've had these conversations with females. And so what happens? Okay. You have men who are not making right as much as now. Question for the men. Do you care how much your potential, and I guess Jeremy can answer this, but did you, when you were dating Jeremy, did you care how much your potential mate made in career-wise or what job she had? Was that in the list of top 10, it was in the top five?
How much
she made?
Top five. Well, yeah.
It mattered to you in a relationship. You were like, well, if she doesn't make this much, I'm not dating her.
Well, not necessarily this much. All right. I didn't have a number as to how much she made. She just needed to make something because. Right.
Okay. So the point that I'm trying to make here, and I guess, Tim, you would answer the same. Do you care how much you're.
I cared more about. Did you have your own, you know, like, did you have goals? Did you have?
Okay,
I didn't care because I dated a lot. You know, I've dated a lot of bartenders and other social justice warriors and things like that.
Exactly.
But they worked in contact centers, right? But their goals were just nothing. Like, I never had anybody. I dated one. I could say I dated two professional girls, right? One was in HR and the other one who sold me my house, right? But the girl that sold me my house, like, we were in an open relationship. So she was fucking other people. So, I could have fucked other people.
You know. Okay, so the question is, do you care if a woman comes to you and says, Tim, I want to be your trophy wife. I want to make sure your house stays clean and that you have food on the table when you come home and that I get up early, I make you breakfast. And then when you leave and you go off to work, I'm going to take a nap, probably get up and go to the gym, might go and get my nails done. You're going to come home and I've packed you your lunch. You're going to come home. Your house is going to be clean. Rocco's going to be taken care of and dinner's going to be on the table.
Mm-hmm. I would love that, but I don't make enough to support that lifestyle.
Okay. So let me finish up my
mentality
thought.
Right exactly. There.
So let me finish up. No. In my opinion, women don't understand this. Okay. Modern women do not understand this. Okay. I promise you, because I've had these conversations. So what's happening? Okay. Because if you ask a girl, oh, well, you know, what are you trying to do in life and blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, I'm a boss babe. I'm an independent woman. I'm this and I'm that. And, you know, me, power, women power and all this and all that. They don't realize that most men do not care about that shit. You care. Because, see, women place value in how much you can make and what your position is. You know what I mean? Like, that's attractive to women. But as a man, as a guy, right, I think you guys here can acknowledge the same thing as me. If a woman makes more than me, or if a woman is more independent, and isn't that, my question is then, I'm competing with this person, right? Because and again, to me, that's the male characteristics, which are good, but today society downplays that and says and calls that toxic masculinity, and calls it chauvinist to think that way. But because they're crippling, they're chipping away slowly at things that have worked. Because again, I can ask 10 guys and say, here's a beautiful girl. Do you care how much money she makes? 9 out of 10 are going to say, no, I don't care. Beautiful woman. And she, like Heidi says, she can cook, clean, da 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 da. Boom. You bring value to this relationship. You ask that to a girl. Here's 10 beautiful men who can cook and clean and all this for you. But you're going to have to take care of them. Most women are going to be like, the fuck I am. Right. But society's moving towards that. Well, no. Both men and women want the same thing. And I think that's a lie.
Yeah, that is the biggest. Hold on. That is the biggest lie. Men and women don't want the same thing. Not all men want the same thing. Not all women want the same thing. To say that men and women want the same thing in generalized terms, right? I'm sure that there's some woman out there that thinks just like Tim does, right? But that's not the general answer.
Exactly.
The general answer is we do not think at all alike. Stop trying to make everything work to where men and women think alike, because we don't.
Society and everything that we've been told now is anything that men can do, women can do.
Bullshit.
But no, hold on. But they never say everything that women can do, men can do.
And that's bullshit too.
But think about that statement. Women are told you could do whatever that man can do, right? But you never hear them see, you know, and you know, I don't want to
create sperm.
I don't want to do what a fucking woman can do, right? Because we have
carry a baby.
To me, I never want to have a period and carry a baby. Nope. That's on you. I give you credit, a high five, everything, because you're pushing a thing out of that dime size hole. Good for you.
Dime size hole. Who are you?
But I also disagree with Saul's statement that he sees that you just asked two of the men sitting right here, and they both said it is important to them.
It's not
that
in
their
top,
woman is going out. It was in the top five.
If I'm a millionaire.
Both of them, it was the top five.
Hold on. Yeah. In modern day times, in my life right now, I need somebody that has some kind of drive that can add to this household that we build. So if we can get to a point where the house can get paid off and everything, I'll keep working. You can stay the fuck home.
If you're a millionaire,
get your nails done.
If you're a millionaire,
but
you wouldn't.
But that's not reality.
I can't afford two car payments, a mortgage, sending kids to private school while you're sitting there fucking making sandwiches, getting your nails done. That should cost money.
But again, let's back up. That's what's wrong with what has happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Look,
the cost of everything.
No. Stop. Back up.
It's consumerism.
No, hold on a minute.
Consumerism
back up.
Is what causes half the problems, because now you got to keep up with the Joneses.
That's just it. Yep. No, you have to make those. Look, guess what? You want to be at home and you want to get up and make me breakfast. But that's what happened to society right there. And men are just as guilty as women in this.
Yes.
That both equally, because you said you need two vehicles.
Right.
Why?
Well, if I'm at work,
why?
And she's got to go get her nails done, where the fuck's she going
to
do?
But that's my point is what happened to. I'm going to go to work and you've got to take care of the house. You've got to make sure that the kids are learning
they got to take them to school.
But
in what car?
But again, Jeremy and I have been doing just
good
fine.
Good luck
with
walking
one,
in Arizona. You're going to walk in a fucking 110 heat.
It used to happen.
I took a school bus to work.
We have
a supermarket to go get tonight's dinner.
This is what's happened is we've raised these standards of living.
Right. Yeah.
And we are expecting more and more
because two people are working. $30 used to fucking get your groceries for a fucking month.
I think
month.
Heidi,
now
you revealed something here, which in my opinion is the truth. I think, you know, there's a mentality, and you're right. Both men and women have played into this. Tim said it. There's a mentality of consumerism, but why? Because it's a choice. We're making a choice to compete with the Joneses.
Yep.
Not right. And well, our focus hasn't been, let's raise a family. What's the right way to raise a family? It is one parent needs to stay home. Preferably the woman, right? Because caregiving comes naturally to women, especially to their own kids. It's just the way that biology works, folks. Okay, and so, you know, but we as a society no longer praise the men who sacrifice their life, their health, their well-being for the betterment of their families, right? That no longer is praise. You know what's praise? A man comes out of the closet and is dressed in a rainbow suit. Oh, bravo. How brave. Not the guy who takes on the responsibility to raise a family, to, you know what I mean? Like, to do the needful, to contribute to society. And I think this is why we're at, to Heidi's point.
Yeah.
And we criticized the women for staying home and making her family a priority. We overlooked what the woman was doing in the home by staying home. Instead, we said, no, go make money and do all of the things that you're supposed to do to raise a family and take care of a home and take care of a husband. Yeah. And we overlooked that too. So it's both sides. It's the side that has to recognize that my girlfriend is a stay-at-home mom. And when I listen to her speak about her husband, and I've actually heard people say to me, well, why is she working so hard to make her husband feel so good? What are you fucking talking about?
Oh my God.
He's going to work. He's making money. He's bringing it home. And she gets to be at home to take care of her household and to raise her kids and to fill in all the other gaps. Where is that praise? Where is that other side of it?
I can counter that, because unfortunately, there's been way too many men, and that always gets to the notoriety, right? Where the men wind up dangling that over a female's head when things are bad. Well, bitch, you ain't getting your nails done because I'm the one fucking working. So I'm gonna I'm gonna cut you off. I'm gonna put you on allowance, and I'm gonna fucking.
Well, that goes.
But I'm gonna keep you down, right? So now,
it's not necessarily keeping it. Let's face it.
At home, and the guy comes around and says, "Fuck you! You're not getting anything." Wait a minute.
Let's face it. Capitalism, to your point, right? The capitalism has not. Is it capitalism?
Consumerism.
Consumerism. Thank you. It's not capitalism. Consumerism. That is a factor, right? I remember. I can think of a couple different examples of like TVs back in the 50s. Right, they were very expensive, right? And families had to save up to get them, right? And you were lucky if you had one in the house. Now, living in this consumerist environment we live in, how many TVs do we have?
You got
four, five? Yeah, something like that.
And we watch one.
Yeah.
And we watch one.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is
the point is that the consumerism is definitely a contributor to this, because when you did have, let's say you were a new just graduated college, you and your wife just got married, you're a newlyweds. Right. Dinks. They call them dinks. Right. Dual incomes. No kids. Right. Mm-hmm. You could afford to buy three TVs at a time. You could go in there and say, well, we need one for this wall, that wall, and that wall. We might as well get three while we're here. Right. You could do that. But once the kids start coming into the picture, you're paying for health care. You're paying for diapers. You're paying for daycare. You're paying for school supplies. You're paying for dance lessons. You're paying for gymnastics. You're paying for everything. Guess what? Those three walls, they no longer have TVs on them. They got pictures of your daughter doing gymnastics. They got pictures of your son doing football. They got pictures of, that's what you get.
And now even down to that, when you're saying, I'm going to take my kid to do all that, think about the cost of each one of those now. Insurance back in the day was usually fair. Think about it. For a family of four, your medical insurance, you're probably paying about $400 a check for healthcare.
Well, let's even go back before healthcare, right? It was doctor visits. You would just pay when you went, right? Braces, dental cleanings. You went in and you paid a lot less for it back then because insurance wasn't involved, right? The doctor could come to the house, you would give him $5 and he would give you a shot for whatever and you would leave and you were fine a day and a half later, right? It's just the consumerism is definitely playing a role in this, right? The wife has to work because they've adjusted to a certain lifestyle. They need that money, right? They have the two cars. They have the boat. They have the ATV. They have the camper trailer that they take out every other weekend to their vacation home in Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
All that takes money. You don't have that on one person's income. What you have is a family. You can have a very happy family. You just don't have all the shit.
Exactly.
It's just shit. It's all things.
Now think about this. Think about this. To your point, right? You just threw out a lot of things.
I did.
Your twins, right? they go to dance and they go to gymnastics, right? Competitively, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're good. Mm-hmm. Great. Whatever you want to say. Now, think about that. To go to that gym, right, that you just moved her to, much better gym, you know, that's going to get her that next level.
Yeah, they have, what, two?
How much did that cost you?
Two Olympians?
You want to know how much we're paying for just one or both? Because no, I know the total
pay,
for
how
both.
How much are you paying for gymnastics?
$6,000 a year for training and another $2,300 for competition fees.
So almost $2,400.
So we pay
almost $8,400
for one.
Let's round it up to nine after food and traveling and everything.
Oh, yeah. Gas. That's not traveling and gas. We'll round it up to 10.
We'll give it a flat 10. 10,000 just for extra for that one child to do gymnastics. Okay. How much for the other one to do dance?
The same.
That's $20,000, right? As a, if it was a single family income making, let's say, 100, you know, 115, right? Nice ball. 120. We'll round it to 120, right? Nice and fair. 120,000, one salary. 20,000 of it after taxes goes to that shit. So now if you're taking home, let's say you're taking home 90, right? 20,000 is in dance and ballet, right? Done. Or dance and gymnastics. That takes you down to 70. Your mortgage is, let's say it's $2,500 a month. $2,500 times 10. That's another fucking almost 30 grand. Done. So what does that
power,
leave you at?
Water, internet.
Yeah. But that right there leaves you at like what?
That's
40,000.
Oh my God.
40,000 left to pay for the rest of that shit. Food for a family of four is I pay $100 a week. A week for me, and I get nothing.
Oh yeah, we've talked about
the monsters over here. You
we
know,
went,
you're probably talking
we
about
went to Sam's Club.
Hold on.
We went to Sam's Club to get food, and Heidi had to go back because they only let her charge so much on the card before she had to do another sale.
But wow, we're gonna get back on topic. But all this factors into
yes.
You know, when you have dual incomes, everything gets more expensive because things get inflated, supply and demand, right? And now you have new industries created for.
I don't think it's supply and demand as much as it is lifestyle, luxury and lifestyle. Right. Because the reality is, can Jeremy and I live off Jeremy's income alone and give the girls what they're doing? Absolutely. But we choose to live in a 3,600 square foot custom home on a half an acre. We choose to have
debt. Pickup trucks.
Well, we choose.
And then he's paid. One of the cars paid for.
Yeah, one of the vehicles is paid for. But we choose. There is stuff that we choose to have. And because of that, now, trust me, it crosses my mind regularly, especially with recent events, to go, no, screw this. Let's sell it off. The fact that we're living in only half a third of our house and we're happy. We're a happy family with one TV. This is no shit. Two bedrooms and one bathroom. Okay. We one TV, two bedrooms and one bath, and the four of us are happy.
You know how many families did that for years?
Why? Most then why them. Are we doing right. this?
Every family up until the 70s, 80s lived like that because you live within your means.
But they're not happy with each other. They're not happy and comfortable in their own. No. I'm saying today. Today, families are not happy in their own skin. They're not. And why? Why is that? Because there was a missing piece of love from mom being in the home, from dad being at the football game, from like all those things. Again, it's let's work 10 hours a day, kill ourselves, have no time to give the kids a 15-minute story at bedtime or a home-cooked meal. Or when you sit down for a meal with a family and they go, what are you talking about? We turn on the TV. Turn the fucking TV off. So sit at the dinner table and have a 30-minute conversation. Guess what? You can work 10 hours and offset what we are doing in our society by sitting at a dinner table for 30 minutes and having a conversation as a family and turning off the TV. Put your fucking phones away. There's a genius.
So before you make your final point, I just wanted to get one more thing out and then I'll turn it over to you. Basically, to all that is... If you wind up just, I think about my uncle back in the day. My aunt wasn't allowed to drive. My aunt, I think up when she was like 70, like they finally taught her how to drive. Aunt never had a license because my uncle, his mentality off the boat, you know, that. Mm-hmm. No.
Old school.
Because when you start driving now, you're
independent.
Now you're independent. Mm-hmm. And you don't, right. you know, so there's that old school mentality that we're trying to kick as well. But to your point, you say it's a negative, but if you had two parents and you lived in that mentality of, I just need one bathroom, two bedrooms, and we live in that smaller space the way we will be with each other, you wind up doing more things. So the fatter you get with life and everything, honestly, the worse it is. And that's where I think my opinion, and I'll turn it to you, is where now having that the dual incomes competing and all that, you're competing for everything. They're love, they're this, they're that. And it's creating a big giant waste.
Yeah.
You know, it's creating fatness. You know what I mean?
So I'll tell you this.
Did he just call us fat?
Yeah, he did. You are.
You're an asshole.
I like,
I'm sensitive about my weight.
I like that idea though. Let's get skinny again. America's getting fat in a lot of areas, right? And this is just one more. I love the way that he just had that analogy.
That's why I wanted to turn it over to him because he presented it as a negative.
Yeah, and I still think it's a negative despite whatever you guys have presented. And I'll tell you why. Because look, I grew up poor. I grew up poor, guys. You know, youngest of 10, we lived in rough neighborhoods growing up. At one point in time, we lived in a 2-bedroom apartment, 10 kids, right? I didn't have my own bed until like I was in high school.
28.
No, right? So I grew up poor. But do you think when I was growing up, that I was unhappy? No. I was very happy growing up. I don't remember my life being, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. You know, like any kid.
Yeah, it goes back to that money doesn't buy happiness, right?
Yeah. But we were happy.
I think
we
that's
happy.
What it's aimed at.
And But again, you know, there's been a lot of things. And that's why I said, has this relative peace and affluence, right? Because maybe we don't consider, we look at our lives and we're like, well, I don't consider myself affluent. Well, to 90% of the world, 99 point whatever percent of the world, we are, guys.
The poorest person in America is the richest person in the most countries.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has left us, and if you look at the statistics, more people are depressed, more people are this. And again, we live in a relatively, guys, it was no more. When was the AC invented? You see what I'm saying? And like,
it was 20s.
And yeah, if you think about it, there were people living in Arizona and where you guys are at in the heat of that, who were surviving. And here we are, you know, we have, like I said, relative peace, comfort, and I mean, man, we are fucking having great. But what I'm trying to get at is to stay on topic, is that I feel that, and again, this is not an attack on women. I think there has been an over-feminization of society because we have focused more on feelings and what makes you feel good instead of, hey, how do we do good? What makes sense? What makes sense for us as a society? Look, I heard this the other day and I was like, you know what? This is a great point. And it goes back to the whole thing where men used to be celebrated and something happened that it stopped. The idea was if a man stays at home all the time, it's a bad sign, right? Because if he's home, he's not winning. Making bread, right? He's not bringing home the bacon, basically. But if he's away from home, now he's, like Tim says, he's not attending the football games. He's not attending all this and all that. And I don't know what happened, but we emphasize something the prior, as opposed to, you know, the latter. And why? I don't know why. When it worked for, you know, a millennia. And here we are now, again, we overemphasize this. Now, some people argue, well, we don't know because we're just testing this out and we don't know where it's going to take us. But I can already see the signs of where it's taking us. We live in relative peace, affluence, comfort, and we're still not happy. I'm talking in general. People are not mm-hmm. happy, and we're moving towards I'm oppressed, I'm this and I'm that, and it's, you're like, wait, what? You are not oppressed. You have it fucking great.
The lack of real problems. The lack of real problems is generating non-problems.
Right. The problems that everybody's complaining about is I play soccer. You play soccer. We should get paid the same. No, because my team generates a hell of a lot more advertising than you do. When you generate the viewership and get the ads, you get the salaries. So play better. Stop taking knees. Stop saying that you're the fucking, you know, the woke social justice warrior, and target, get better. Make me want to watch you play. You know what I mean?
This is going to shift?
I'm not going to watch you just because you're a female kicking a fucking ball. And like, you got to earn it.
The other, so I know a few couples, married and soon to be married couples, where the man has said, I'm going to stay home with the kids. Like right now we're both working, but when the babies come, I'm going to stay home with the babies. And a couple things here. First of all, on the other side of that, the women are like, whoa, 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 whoa. I want to be a mommy for a little while. Well, guess what? You're the breadwinner. You chose to be the breadwinner and you chose to marry a man. And you chose to marry a man that doesn't have enough cojones or education or whatever to go be the breadwinner. So you're kind of fucked because you're going to have to go to work.
Celebrate.
So let's set that aside for a second. But on the other side of that, because there are some things that men just inherently have. And
a penis
and
stop it.
And how is that shift going to happen when dad is at home with the kids and he just has that inherent male persona of being a male? Because I have yet to see a stay-at-home dad do what the stay-at-home moms were doing.
There's cases of it. I mean, look, we're generalizing things, but there are a lot of cases, you know, and especially in this day and age where that.
The exception and not the model, right? It should be the exception.
Well, yeah, I think.
If you had three boys and the guy's staying home with three boys, shit, that'd probably be easy for a guy. But it's when they have the girls and then, when a girl is, you know, when a baby girl is, you know, from 1 year old to, you know, eight, you know. Like that's when they sit on your lap, they love you, but then 9, 10, they start developing.
Oh, okay, but let's go back to newborn. Let's go to your newborn to eight. Okay, newborn to eight. Dad's at home. Okay, let's talk about, like I'm saying, inherent things that dads just do, like inherent things moms just do. Okay, dad's staying at home. You got a little boy and a little girl. Let's say they're twins, boy, girl. Age one. Let's make them two because I want them walking. All right, you got little boy, little girl. They're 2 years old. They're walking. They trip, they fall, and they hurt themselves. An inherent dad, the general dad, even today, the general dad is going to go, oh, you're fine. Get up, brush it off.
100%.
Which is, okay, hold on. Which is fine. Yeah. Which is fine. I'm not, this is not me. Okay. Which is fine. I think that's great. I think it's important. Absolutely. It's important. And they're not receiving any of the, the mom side, inherent to mom. The mom side of let me hug it, kiss it, and make it better at all. That's being completely removed, right? We're gonna go from one extreme to the other. Are we going to see, I'm just throwing this out there for discussion, are we going to see more heartless, like are we gonna see this let's worry about everybody's feelings do a turn in the next 30, 40, 50 years, where now we're gonna be like straight up heartless?
100%.
We aren't even going to care about
all these people.
And we're going to go now the other extreme of seeing more psychotic.
We're going down that road because everybody that's sitting there marching for social justice and all this, they do not give a fuck. They do not like people. They don't like you. They just marching to be because they're most of them being paid and they're getting to go burn down cities. Let's be real, because those are the same motherfuckers that say, all inclusive. I love people. But if you disagree with me, they're the nastiest motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't want to listen to you. They'll call you, because we've seen the videos. We covered it on this show numerous times where you see white people calling black cops every racial fucking thing under the sun because they're a cop or they're conservative. But if it's George Floyd or a hip hop artist, yeah, cool. I agree with you. So they're becoming less and less empathetic to people they're the same assholes that see an old person. Instead of helping them cross the street, they're either robbing them, punching them,
pushing them,
or letting the door close right in that motherfucker's face.
And are these the same kids that I'm talking about that didn't have the mommy at home to hug and kiss their boo-boos? Because again, you like, right? No. I mean, is that what we're seeing
they
right now? Or is it that we're seeing
they didn't have the father saying, hey, asshole, you suck it up, but I'm a
but it's both.
No. I'm a teacher respect, because when you coddle them too much, then they go, I can get away with whatever. When you see that 2-year-old stomping their feet on the ground, and you've told that story about your ex's girl, like she would throw that temper tantrum. But once you set those rules and you said, you ain't getting over on me, what did she do? She said she was going to piss and shit herself. She didn't do that. She wound up putting the toys away and everything else. But when they push you, they get louder and louder and louder until you cave in. But if you do not cave in, then all of a sudden you've established boundaries.
See,
once you establish boundaries with somebody,
Heidi, this is why. Look,
they don't go burn buildings down.
I understand what you're saying, right? There's the other extreme, and there is the other extreme, right? Of a child who doesn't receive any form of love and affection. Okay, yes, could that person? I agree. Yes,
the balance,
exactly. And I think this is where men will play a role, because look, again, we have a term for male characteristic that society has deemed unlikable, right? We call it toxic masculinity. Okay. But we don't have the equivalent on the other side. Because if these people who came up with these terms, if you ask them, well, what is toxic femininity? They'll tell you, oh, that doesn't exist. Right.
But it does, because it just created this whole generation of these people.
We know it exists.
We know it exists, but society has
it exists.
Yeah,
has but society will never agree. Yeah, because now you're saying everything that you've said is complete bullshit, because now you're putting them down. You're putting down the empowered female by saying that they're toxic when they say, well, you're a piece of shit, I don't need a man. By that saying it, that's toxic femininity. You're saying, I don't need anything. No, you do need a man to procreate. Oh, I can go get my eggs frozen and everything. They get this set of, now you're trying to make a guy look like a bitch. Like,
look,
that's toxic.
I saw this. There was a debate, and I forget where this was, but I remember there was this debate, and there was these two, you know, the two guys who were going to debate. Oh my God, who was it? Fuck, I wish I could remember. But one of them asked the question, because they were debating: has society become over masculine, toxic masculinity, or has it become over feminized? Right. The guy who was arguing that society was moving into an over feminization direction asked the question to the crowd. Listen to this. But he said, how many, and because the crowd was mixed, men, female, and he said, how many men can raise their hand and say that they need a woman, right? Most men raise their hand. Most men will say they need a woman. He asked the same question to females. Would you acknowledge that you need a man? Oh, no, but hardly any female raised their hand, because as Tim says, we have taught women to think you don't need a man in this world, right? Oh, I'm a boss, babe. I don't need no man. But see, and this is where we have to acknowledge that that's wrong. You do need a man, especially if you want to procreate, especially if you want to raise kids. But society is preaching something otherwise. And I think this is the repercussion that we're feeling today. Women were liberated and society has suffered. Now, I say liberated, you know, in because other things happen. I'm not talking about the right to vote. I'm not saying none of that. Of course, that's a great thing. But this women's liberation movement that just continued to move forward and just, in my opinion, they're just destroying our society. And weak beta men who have allowed this toxic femininity to be rampant, because nobody is standing up to this. Nobody is saying, whoa, well, let's pump the brakes today in society, because we cannot just say, teach girls to be, so constant, and then teach men, no. You're showing signs of toxic masculinity. We're going to have to suppress this, right? Because that's what society is doing. Yep.
Well, and now think about it. The same people spewing this are the same. This is the party of science, right? They're the ones believing the science. The science and the biology of a man and a female for millennial, you know, we talk about this millennial, right? Caveman, I go hunt food and the girl is cooking. You know what I mean? But that's the story we've always been told. We weren't around to actually know if it was true or not. You know, we see archaeological things and whatever, but when you look at that basic concept of I have this and you have this, I take this and I put it in there, right? The birds and the bees, right? You know, you got the honey and I'm going to, you know, steal your honey, you know, and that's our science. And now when you start taking away the science and you start saying, hey, ladies, you can go get your eggs frozen, or you don't really need to have that kid. Your biological clock and all that, like every animal, we are defying science, right? And when you start defying science, you are now fucking with a lot of shit. I'm sorry. You are fucking with a lot of shit.
Well, look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to create wombs. Scientific Jesus. Wombs. Oh, right. Because God, well, not just that. No. The one I read, the video I watched, said because it inconveniences a woman to be pregnant because they can't drink and they can't this and they can't. Are you kidding me? There is nobody in this entire world that could pay me enough to give up my rights and my God-given blessing to carry my children inside of my body.
But now you're creating a robot. I'm sorry, because there's a connection.
Yeah.
Like,
you're taking away love.
Like when you look at that whole breeding, you know, when you look at a dog having it or a human, like you have these things living inside of you. You're nourishing it. You're growing it. Right.
Yeah.
And I guess as you get older, you start realizing, I guess it's a conservative thing. And I don't understand how that's even considered. It's a logical thing. You know what I mean? Like, you should want to go through all that, and you should want to go through that together. And the man's with the female, you know, every step of the way, helping them, because that is also your baby. You know what I'm saying? But
when I left, we were talking about how things are shifting, and like how it's going to shift again as we have men staying home and raising kids and women going off and being in the workplace, and how we're going to lose that natural loving care of a mom. Mm. And it's going to be more of that, like, suck it up buttercup kind of natural thing that a dad brings to the table. I don't think anything is wrong with that. I think my kids got both sides of that from me in a lot of ways, which is probably why, and maybe less of the, you know, when Connor fell as a kid, it was, oh my gosh, did you just break my floor? It wasn't, oh my gosh, are you broken and are you okay? And I'm seeing more and more with him now as an adult, and as he continues to grow, he has less and less concern about other people's feelings.
And I think, to your point,
I don't know about that.
You had to play the, I think when either side has to play both roles, the kid loses something, because you're playing the, the caretaker and the disciplinary.
Yeah.
You know, so like the man, he would say, you know, the guys usually say, suck it up, whatever, you know, and they give him a slap on the ass, you know, stop crying. Where the moms, they'd be the nurturer. So the kid would get bold. When you're getting it from the same person, you're just like, you're the same, like, fuck you out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't take you serious.
I think that we've seen this shift of how this single parent world is going, and how this whatever, and how moms are starting to kind of have to play both those roles, and they're not being as nurturing, and they're not being as loving, and they don't have the patience and the time for their kids. And so I think now we're starting to see people now saying, well, let's start paying more attention to mental health. And where we're supposed to have strong female role models that are playing sports, or that are in the workforce, or that are teaching kids at school, we're now starting to see, oh, wait a minute, we've made this huge push for feminism. Fucking, I hate that word. It's an embarrassment, by the way, for me as a female to even have to use these words. But now we need to take a step back and maybe look at it and go, oh, we need to be thinking about people's feelings and emotions more. So let's start backing down from our responsibilities in roles, which, I, without trampling recent events, where we watched a 24-year-old woman, 24 years old, you are an adult and you have a job to do. We're seeing it in sports with men coming out and being in touch with their feminine side or their feelings or their whatever. And let's start making this more about bowing out gracefully because of mental health or because of mental weaknesses or because of, and we're now seeing that prime example, the recent scenario with Simone Biles in the Olympics.
Yeah.
She let her entire team down because of what? Oh, she suddenly didn't feel mentally or emotionally stable to do her job.
Yeah.
Yep. She's known since 2016 she was having issues. She waited. She waited until she's in the middle of performing to say, oh, I don't feel like it now. I'm sorry. I can't hold it together.
Yeah.
Bitch, you knew 5 years ago. 5 years ago, you should have been bowing out then.
You know,
you're 24 years old. You're a woman, not a child.
I want to say something because you're approaching this because you have daughters who compete and you know what I mean? Like who are in that arena. Okay. So I want to say something here because to lead up to that, because, you know, we presented this whole over feminization of society and I kind of want to package it up and then really talk about Simone Biles because I posted something this week and it's drawn support and anger from both sides of the spectrum. This is an issue that really divides. And I didn't know this when I posted it. I didn't know that it was going to create that kind of reaction because like, again, I've gotten private messages from people who are, you know, oh shit, you know? So look, the Olympics is just an example of the consequences of the over feminization of society. Okay. Because the idea of cultural appropriations is a feminist approach to society. And I'm not going to go into that, but it does coincide, but I won't go into that. Maybe we'll cover it on another episode because that in itself is a whole other topic, but I do want to tackle it from this perspective. Okay, we've all heard the question. Two kids are fighting, and you get the question. Well, who started it? Right, right. And you guys. And to me,
guilty.
I think that logic derives from females. It does because men. I think we are concerned with justice. Women are concerned with and look, I've seen this. Women moms don't want their kids hurting each other. Okay, that's why you get the, well, I don't care who started it, doesn't matter to me because I don't want you guys hurting each other, right? And while the guy is more like, well, there is a sense that we men in general, I'm not saying always, in general, men have a sense of justice. There has to be justice. Who started it is an important question. Now, and I'm going to build this into the whole Simone Biles. Okay, so the idea of even the idea of not keeping score, right, because listen, this is a feminist approach.
Winners
to sports.
Keep score.
As long as you're having fun, we've all heard this. As long as you're having fun. Now, my question is: okay, sure, maybe in whatever kids, you know, little kids or who are playing whatever. What is that called? The junior league in sports. But to me, sports are a great way that you teach your kids character. Right, it's a great way to learn how to lose with dignity and how to win with humility, right? We all know this about sports. That's why a lot of parents like to put their kids in sports. It's a great learning lesson. But you don't learn when you don't keep score. That's why this whole notion of, well, we're not going to keep score because, you know, it's going to hurt Johnny's feelings. But it's doing damage to our society. And what drives me crazy is that there's no remorse from the other side that's pushing towards this, even though that they're seeing this. Because as long as you have a great time, that's all that matters. As long as you have good intentions, that's all that matters. As long as you're and boom, 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 let's lead up to the Olympics. So then we have Simone Biles, right? And like Heidi said, you know, she apparently suffered from some mental issue that caused her. What is it?
What?
It was called, she was twisties? Dealing with, it's called twisties.
Yeah.
Like when she's going up in the air and she's twisting around, you know, like when they do the.
Yeah, yeah.
She was drawn, she was going blank and it was freaking her out. Okay. I mean, because she's like, dangerous.
Okay. So okay. Look, here, and I was telling this to Jeremy, I think Heidi earlier before we started the show. And when I hear this, I'm like, okay, sure. But you guys remember, what was that Olympics girl's name? That little girl who jumped and broke her whatever shattered her
1996 Arizona Olympian was going off the vault, broke her foot somehow, broke something in her foot, came back, told the coaches she was hurt. She didn't know if she could handle it. And the coach said, like, this is the Olympics. This is the gold. Mm-hmm. And she said, I can do this. And went back out, did the second vault, because there's two vaults, did the second vault and took home gold.
Right. Now, look. Let me finish my thought, and then we'll all give our opinions here. So while I see both sides, and when I posted this, I got, I got the typical response from some, people who are like, this is trash. This is garbage. You shouldn't be, posting this because it's not, there's no point in it. Okay. I think people came at me from the approach of like, well, you don't understand what it is to be an Olympian. But in my opinion, by that logic, neither do you. So here we are. Both of us have an opinion. But regardless of that, okay, the issue was I wasn't presenting this as I don't think that Simone Biles is not doesn't have great achievements. This is not where I'm coming from. But when you're competing at an Olympic level, I equated it, and I was telling Heidi this. Think of a Michael Jordan at the NBA Finals, because this is what this is, folks. This is not just any other practice. This is you're at the NBA Finals, and your team relied on you because you are the best. And listen to this. Now, she bowed out, and I just heard that she's going to come back for one of those competitions. So then my question is, okay, so your mental health is selective. Look, I'm not here. I don't know her. I don't know any of that. But again, you're competing at a level where there is a higher expectation from you, and that's how I approach this. Because
on them for letting her come back. Shame on them.
But what I want to get at is this, and this is what I'm attacking. I'm attacking the idea, because if you read everything that was posted after, her bowing out could be even better than if she had won the gold. What? Mm-mm. No. That's stupid. And so that's my anger about
this.
That's
a quitter attitude.
Exactly. Because they're praising her for the act of quitting. Not saying, what? Nobody's forcing you to do anything. However, you know what I mean? Like, but don't praise somebody because they quit. You don't praise somebody for that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what they're celebrating. They're celebrating mediocrity. They're celebrating quitting. And that's why I posted in that one of the comments. And I read this in an article, and I was like, this is a great quote. Adversity doesn't build character. It reveals it. Oh, I love that statement, because here she is presented with an adversity. And in my opinion, you had an opportunity to do great and you know what I mean? At least try, but not leave your team hanging. And so I put the post of the girl Michaela, because when I read what she had done, she had never even participated in what she did. She had never competed in it, and she took it on and she got silver. And so that's why I was like, oh shit, you have to celebrate this, because here's somebody who stepped in never and didn't want to leave her team hanging. And did a routine that she had never competed for and got silver. That you celebrate. And that's what I was trying to get at. But people misconstrued it as, you can't opine because you don't know what it is like to be an Olympian. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's not what I'm trying to say. I just don't want to celebrate quitting. That was my point. Yeah.
You don't know what it's like to be an Olympian, but you work with a team, right? Yes. Okay, so you know what it means to be a team player and a team member that is required to do certain things in your job. What's the difference? There's no fucking difference. None whatsoever. If you don't do your job, you have a team of how many other people at work that are relying on you to do it, that will have a hole that have to figure out how to pick up the slack. I don't care if you're an Olympian. I don't care if you're a basketball player, a football player, or any other. It is a team We are living in a team world. You are part of a team every day. You know, Bella, one of our girls, Bella, well, everybody, I guess, knows at this point, Bella's a dancer, right? And she wanted desperately to walk out and be done with her old team. But she had two more competitions that she was expected to be as part of the team. Jeremy and I could have saved $600 plus by pulling her from those two competitions and letting her walk away from her team. But in the meantime, you had 14 other little girls that were going to get on that stage and have to figure out how to pull a win out and fill the hole of this other kid. I'm teaching them, no, you made a commitment to your team. The same thing that you made a commitment to be a responsible adult and contribute to whatever it is. People said to me, I was asked and I made comments and they said, yeah, but just think about what this poor kid is going through. She doesn't get to have everybody there cheering for her. She doesn't, like, they're making excuses. They said, no. She's a 24-year-old woman. She is not a 4-year-old kid. There is a difference. This is her job. This is how she makes money, because she has a brand that she puts out there, a business that she puts out there. You know, this, I had so much respect for this young woman when she stood up and stood against her sexual assailants. You know, this was one of the young ladies that was molested and abused sexually by, and she stood up against that and she had no problems doing that. Well, that's not true. She had problems, right? But she didn't let it affect her job. She did great things there. And then I think this was a publicity stunt. I think this was a brand stunt. I think that I think there's a lot more to it than just this. Again, you knew you were having problems 5 years ago. Then maybe we need to reintroduce age to the Olympics. Right. And if you are a certain age, you can't compete anymore, because then she wouldn't have been out there to begin with. She's 24 years old.
I think that's what the trials are for, right? You don't just get onto the Olympic team. You have to try out. You have to do your best. And if you can do your best at 80 and be better than people in their 20s, then why shouldn't you be an Olympian?
Well, but now we have reason to say she's too old because she let her brain get in her way. I mean, that's part of one of her things. I've just gotten so old that it affected me.
So you got to remember, right? There's two things here. There's two things, right? We hear all the stories and we glorify all the people that when they have those physical ailments, you know, the girl with the broken foot, you know, the the Olympian Kurt Angle, he wrestled, won the gold medal with a broken fucking neck. And that was his slogan the whole time, right? You know, you don't give up. You keep fighting through it. I fought through it because I love. That's physical. And the physical pain can cause some mental, but in the physical, you can almost go into your mental to get over physical pain, right? Mental is completely different. I mean, think about this, bro. And you've talked about it on the show. From being locked down in the house, you had a mental breakdown. You did, right? Yes or no? And you were like, I can't believe this happened to me, blah, blah, blah. Right? You're a normal guy. You don't have cuckoo-ness problems or anything. But the mental got to you. God. No, but something got in your head. It fucked with you and it put you in a deep, dark place.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm not making an excuse for her, but we are all human. Anything could have got to her. The twisties, not knowing and then thinking about that you're going to break your fucking neck and you're going to be dead. Yep. That can get in your head and fuck with you. So you have to.
I'm about to be an asshole, Timmy.
But you have
because
to answer certain things.
I want to answer Tim because Tim addressed a situation. Right? He addressed something I went through and he wants me to relate to that. And okay, this is what I will answer to that, Tim. Because see, again, my point that I'm trying to make is that, okay, I can acknowledge she had some mental issues. I'm not questioning that. My issue is we shouldn't celebrate her quitting. Okay. That's my problem is that, that they started celebrating her quitting. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Because the same crowd today that wants to highlight her mental health issues, right? And say, oh, this is brave of her and this is better than her winning the gold, is the same crowd that will fucking ignore people right, that went through what I went, and even worse, because a lot of people killed themselves, dude, are the same people who will be like, well, nothing to see here, folks. I'm blind. I don't want. Okay, no. Okay, that's why I don't like it, because it's false. Because we want to place and say, oh, you know, because of mental health, and let's respect that, and nobody can have an opinion. No, we can have an opinion. And my opinion is that, again, I am not going to praise her quitting because of mental health issues. I'm just not.
That's a different argument. Right. That's a different argument. Right. That's a completely different argument. You're not saying her bowing out was whatever.
Right.
It's about, why are we praising her? You know, all right, she stepped out for mental health. Done.
Yeah.
Move on. That's it. So, but the problem is everybody with an opinion got online and started bashing her, right? And that's where the main problem came. If she would have just bowed out and just said, look, man, you know, I don't have it, and she would have just went on, I don't think it would have been a bigger deal. It's when everybody started, when both sides were praising it, and then they were like, fuck that shit, she quit. That's where the argument went from, to your point, it wasn't about, nobody questioned her mental.
So it was it-
questioning the quitting and how, see, everybody was holding her to this higher level.
I think, sorry Jeremy, that I'm cutting you off, but
I'm with Heidi here because I don't
agree. I think there's something underlying here as her reasons for quitting. I think it was a publicity stunt, like Heidi says. Yeah,
she went down on the mat, and the very first headline that came out was, is she okay? Because they thought it was a physical injury.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, sorry. Fucking grab your foot, grab your ankle, do whatever, and go, okay, I'm physically hurt right in this moment. And bow out gracefully, quietly. Instead, we make a big deal. And she made a big deal out of it, too, about how she's got this mental issue and this mental health. But again, if you go back and you read and you do the research, because I started doing it. Why? Because I heard the same thing. I had a young man give me the argument. Yeah, but you know how jet pilots, they get like the twisties and they get like bad. Okay.
I don't want that.
I'm thinking to myself, I have two competitive children, and I am the mom that goes, hey, you're not broken, you're not bleeding, suck it up. I'm that mom, right? So I went out to do research to learn more, to see if Simone Biles really went down because of the twisties or because of whatever. And I find article after article that she has been under mental health care since 2016. Are you fucking kidding me? 5 years ago, when you started going through all of this, it says in the documentation that was released that she has been having problems for 5 years. You should have not done what you've done, and you should have let somebody else take that place and take that position.
To that point. But then I heard, and you know, because I haven't been following the Olympics. I could give two shits about the Olympics. I love the fact that the women's soccer team lost. I love it. yes. That's the only thing I care. I'm rooting against this country, and I hate the fact. You know what? Fuck it. Everybody, they all want to be woke.
Cool. Not the country, but the idiots who represent it.
Oh, fuck it. I'm rooting against the country.
okay.
She apparently, I heard, messed up on the event prior to.
Yeah, she did. She made a mistake. Yeah,
she made a mistake. So everyone was like, kind of convenient that you stepped out, you're claiming mental, you know, where you know you messed up and you're supposed to be the GOAT, and now
she messed up in the trials also, but she got her position and was allowed to continue because of her previous performances.
Okay,
go back and look.
Okay, regardless,
there's a history here where she had plenty of opportunities. She should have bowed out.
What I'm saying is, it's kind of, you know, the other argument is, oh, this is really convenient for the fact that you were supposed to be the GOAT and win it all. You make a mistake, and now you're talking about twisties and everything else. And they're like, but everyone's discredit, you know, everyone's forgetting that she messed up here, and she probably wasn't going
to
be able to.
We're going
to
refocus on something else. In the meantime, thank you, Simone Biles, for being weak, because you allowed our very own Jade Carey, who trains with Laura, my daughter, at Arizona Sunrays, step up and show what happens when a daddy raises a little girl because daddy is the one that's out there coaching her, telling her, let's go. You could do this. Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, but that can mess
and
up.
She took home a gold for the USA.
I'm nice. Just saying. Hey, it was a good story. She stepped out. Somebody else stepped in, got the opportunity and the shine and everything.
I'm going to close it up with this. But before I do, Jeremy, I know you wanted to say something and we've been cutting you off all day.
Yeah. So I guess I want to present the question, right? Regardless of whether or not she got praised for quitting, was quitting the right thing for her to do?
No.
If she is on a team, she's on a team that the entire team is scored, right? Mm-hmm. She knows that she is not performing at her best. Was it the right thing for her to do to say, I am bringing this team down. I need to step out of it and bring somebody who is capable of doing their best? Was that the wrong thing to do? I know we've been talking about her getting praised for doing it, but was it the right thing for her to do?
They went from having four girls compete to three girls compete. She left a hole.
I thought they pulled someone in to fill it.
They could not do it in the moment. They had three girls out of four girls perform.
The girls stepped up and won it. But to that point,
they got a silver with three people playing a four-person team.
How she cost them the gold.
Yeah. But how many times have I watched sports and you go, this running back, the star running back is hurt, trying to play through it all to win, but he's actually hurting his team. Dude, you got to go the fuck out.
When you bring the whole team down, is it the right thing to do?
But that's the coach's call.
Did the coach
sometimes you have to tell the coach, be like, look, I understand. I can't go. You want me to run a 100-yard dash? I can't. My fucking leg is broken. You know what I mean? Like my foot, I can't do it.
See, I think if a player is willing to go, that's a coach's call. I mean, the coach has to see that you're not performing. Look, I want to close it out this conversation with this because we're going on 2 hours now. But something changed, and to bring it back, something changed when we started telling kids or athletes. You know, this is for fun and, you know, above anything, above competition, right? There's a side that focuses on this, that says trophies, you know, why are we keeping score? Why are we, you know, everybody gets a trophy, this mentality, right? It's all about having fun. Well, maybe for little kids, but when you're competing at an Olympic level, you know, that's what I'm angry about, right? It's the culture that has belittled competition is now leading our country in the fucking Olympics. That's what annoys me about this whole shit. And I think we have to understand the significance, the historical significance that the Olympics have, you know, and what I mean by that is, you know, here are the Olympics. This is where it's the opportunity for our country to shine. How many significant events happened? What was that track star? Robinson, who ran, was it in the Munich Olympics, right? And he was like the first black who won the gold. What was his name?
Jesse Robbins?
Was it his something Robbins? Anyways, I forget this Olympics name. But
was it Jesse Robbins?
But it was a significant thing in the face of you know what I'm saying? Like that was beautiful to watch. And I don't know. I think we've lost that. Like you were saying, Tim, earlier, it's like, oh, nobody's been watching the Olympics. It's sad. It's sad. But because we've gone into this whole like, well, you know what? Keeping score doesn't matter. Trophy. Everybody gets a trophy. You got emotionally unhealthy. You still get a gold. Yeah. Well, then what are we doing? What is this?
Well, the Olympics was more about, you know, first, it's about, you know, the smoke and the, you know, smoke and weed, and then Gwen Berry with her thing coming in third place and getting the most fucking shine at anybody because she felt like they what was it she said? They attacked her or they blindsided her by playing the national anthem. What? Okay, yes. We're done with that. But then you got all the women's water teams and everything. Oh, it's over sexualization of female sports. Okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah, exactly.
You're playing beach volleyball in a bikini. You know that going into it. Now all of a sudden it's over sexualization.
Right.
Stop it. Like play the fucking game. When I want to watch my sports, I want to watch football for football. I don't want to have to worry about people.
But now they're coming out of the closet and they're gay.
But to my point. To the team, and then I'll let you go back to closing out. I just want to end with this one story about being in the corporate world and being on a team. Me and Jeremy, we had the when we both were on, you know, work together, we had a situation where we were doing our team was part of a big migration, right, from one application to the next. The guy that was running it, he wound up, you know, the original person, he wound up bad mouthing, said, I could do it better, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So now night of the migration comes. The kid screws up everything and all the pressure got on him. Right. And what does the kid do? I go to the bar, right? Because it's his show, right? Boom. You know, it was supposed to be a little tiger team. You know, we're all on standby. The kid, I'm at the bar with you. Mm-hmm. I'm at the bar with you.
Oh, that's a bad night. That's a bad night for you.
Yeah. So the kid walks past me. I was like, oh, what's up? He's like, oh, just taking a break. The kid never went back.
Wow.
The kid never went back knowing that there was an issue there with they were troubling. The kid had a mental breakdown. Then we all get called in Friday, you know,
wow. Boom,
we come up with all the plans. But we as a team got together to fix the problem. But the quarterback took his ball and went home. He left everybody high and dry.
He had a mental breakdown.
Did
you celebrate him?
Oh, fuck no. No, but you know what? The kid was supposed to lose. No, but you know how he got celebrated? He kept his job, and then he got...
recognized for doing it,
And then he got moved to a different team. He got promoted.
Yeah, and that's what Simone Biles just got, because she's going to get... She got celebrated. The news media celebrated her. What?
We've been through that, and you're looking at it, that us as a team, we were celebrated, but people were like, there was no accountability for that man's actions.
Yeah.
And that's when we talk about this culture of, oh, I can just take my ball and go home, and no accountability. That's a problem. That is a big problem. Like, there's a fine line, but once you're committed, you're all in. Like, you got to accept that if you go all in and you pull and you all of a sudden you break down, you're going to get criticized. No one's going to. That's part of the job. Part of any job. Any athlete. I criticize LeBron James, but you know what? That motherfucker is a great basketball player. I think he's a piece of shit personally by his actions, but skill wise, I can't critique the way he played. We watch sports as fans. Oh, you should pay. I'm not a professional athlete, but I can call out when I see ball hogs. I can see where, hey, pass the ball around. I don't like your gameplay, but I can't step foot on an NBA court and play basketball. Shit, I can't even go into LA Fitness and play basketball with the fucking people that suck. The
vast majority of the population can't.
Right, but we critique it.
Right.
We all critique. We critique politicians. We critique athletes. Anybody that's in the spotlight, because that's part of the job.
Well, they expose themselves.
If you're going to sit there, if you're going to expose yourself in front of a camera, just like we do on this show, if someone comes up, hey, your show sucks. All right, thanks. You know, what can I do better?
Not listening. Hey, keep listening and let us know how bad we can do. Where we can improve.
But that's somebody's opinion. All right. Yeah. It's going to sting, but I might get pissy, but that's a man's opinion. But okay, you get in front of this and speak. Most people can't. They can tell you they can speak, but
So
we got to remember, it's easy to look at it from an outside perspective with anything in life. It's easy. Until you go through it.
All right, ladies. Okay, so let's close it. All right. Obviously, you know, how do we fix this shit? How do we fix it, folks? And you know, I'm going to say this as a joke, but you know, I mean, like, guys, you know, it shouldn't have been us, who've been handed the task of fighting for the future of America. I mean, how many greater generations came before us? But here we are, unprepared, unmotivated, uninformed, unwilling. But it is us, right? And we must. And I go back to this quote that I heard, and I was like, I loved it. Not because we're brave and worthy, but because if it's not us, who? And if it's not now, then when? Right? And we don't do it because we're brave or whatever, but because the alternative is worse, right? Because if we don't correct this shit today, we are heading down a path that I think is destructive. And I mean, we've talked about it so many times on the show. It's like, oh shit, man, the worst. I mean, because we're all anticipating, we're like, something's coming. Something's going to give. But I think this country is worth saving. I think this, you know, we have to do something. And we're trying to here on the Salty Show, where we're going to speak about our ideas and our opinions, and hopefully spread some knowledge and wisdom, and maybe cause some people to think and reconsider. All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you all for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. I think we're only on Instagram.
Find us on the one. Go to Instagram.
But we're posting. We are posting. We started posting more often. I am going to make it a goal that we're going to be posting more often. So thank you all for the likes and the participation. We love it. Even the negative comments, keep them coming. I love it. And we will catch you next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Deuces.
Send in your resumes for brides. We're looking for brides for Saul and Timmy. And you need to specifically have childbearing hips.